Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Corn Nation's Five Heart Podcast, hosted on jitterymonkey.com. See how I reworded it? I'm trying a new angle there. I am one half of your broadcast crew. My name is Greg Mahochko, joined as always by my good friend, fellow Husker fan, and longtime broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. And Brian, you're in a great mood tonight because Nebraska baseball just opened. See, I wanted to go with Nebraceball, but I'm slowly trying to build up to that. But Nebraska baseball team opened up their weekend series with a 7-3 win over the Indiana Hoosiers, and that's always fun when you can get that first Big Ten win of the season.
Ben Miller was actually really good tonight. Had one huge, like, Schwarberish home run.
Schwarberish?
Luis Alvarez. Yeah, it went far. It's
funny that you mentioned Schwarber since he went to Indiana.
Yeah, well, the term country mile comes with this home run. But the big blow, Luis Alvarado's 3-run homer to blow the game open to 7-3 really kind of helped. And then Jay Cohen, he's 7 and a third. Good. Threw it pretty good. Kind of got nickeled and dimed a little bit, but threw it pretty good. But yeah, Nebraska gets the win on the road, opens the Big Ten slate with a decent showing with bats. I think Nebraska's big problem is early this year, you know, the bats have been really inconsistent, and this is probably one of their better games of the year right now. So
and when you can come out, you know, and we've talked at times in the past about Nebraska's non-conference schedule and you know how at one point their strength of schedule was, you know, much higher than some of these other quote unquote more successful Big Ten teams, but to come out, you know, the first game of the conference schedule and get 7 1/3 innings from your starting pitcher, that's, you know, that's a big step in the right direction, because at times we've seen, you know, the bullpen perhaps be a little bit overworked.
Yeah, that's a good term for it, I suppose. So, but you know, they had to go to Lunesman tonight, and I'm really kind of not digging Lunesman right now, but he threw literally one pitch and I can't remember if it's a save or not. I don't think it's a save.
Last I checked, save is three run differential or less. So
I thought it was four. I guess it depends on. I know majors is four. So
I thought majors it was three. That's where I was getting my information from.
Yeah, it is what it is. Who cares?
But anyway, you can check out the full recap over on CornNation.com. Just look for it. It got posted just before 9 o'clock last night. So check that out. And Brian, you had a hand in that, but Keith did the quote unquote heavy lifting, and then you popped in and finished her off. But again, check that out, CornNation.com. And yesterday was a pretty busy day over at CornNation.com, but just as busy as it was on the site, it seems like it's always a busy day in the Slack chat room. And our good friend and contributor, the football schematic guru, he's our go-to, Haas Reuter, was out at the Football 101. And I guess we're relieved to report that there were no shirtless Bob Diaco.
Yeah, but you know, let Haas do his report on that, because he's going to do a nice little thing on that. But whatever, you heard what he said about Les Miles, you know. He listened to them all. He listened to Langsdorf. He listened to Diaco. I guess the question was asked as a teaser for you to read the piece.
Mm-hmm.
The question was asked: when are the black shirts coming?
Ooh. Yes. And again, I'm not going to spoil it. I want you to definitely head out to coronation.com when the piece is ready. But Diaco's, and again, we're not going to get into it here, but as we talk about it sort of in that vague book sense, you know, we talk around it a little bit.
I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to get into it.
Yeah, exactly. I have no problem with the way that Diaco handled that question. What about you?
Yeah, I don't care about it. You know, rip the shirt off, rip his pecs a little. You know,
really showed him who was boss.
He didn't. Yeah. You know. By the way, this is our April Fool's post that we're not allowed to do an April Fool's post. It is not us. We've been told that we can't really do an April Fool's post. So is what it is on that. That you know. We kind of had the walk-off one about a few years back, with Creighton Foosball.
It so. Still gets hits. Is it based on hits alone, is it not the most popular coronation post?
I honestly think it's number three.
Okay.
I think number one, and for those of you kind of seems weird to somebody, but for number one, it is John's movie review about the Marshall movie. We Are Marshall.
Oh, We Are Marshall. Oh, okay.
Because every time that movie plays on TV, you can tell. Because all of a sudden that starts showing up in our reports, and we're like, what the hell? Why is this here? You know? What, so, anyway.
No, that's number one.
Week in,
what's
it was
number
a boring
two?
Week in Nebraska athletics, right? I can't remember number two.
You would think it would have to do, and this is me just freestyling here, that it'd be either, Bo's removal or the hiring of Mike Riley. You would think it'd be one of those two events. So
the day that Bo Pointing was fired was there, it was the site's number one day.
Gotcha. So
the number two day was,
I would imagine, could it be a national signing day?
It was a national signing day. This past season's national signing day.
Very cool. So yeah, going back to your question of, I like how you sarcastically led into it, but no, not. Let's put it this way: we got news we didn't want. I would go so far as to say we got news we didn't expect. It kind of came out of left field. You have a young man whose father played a different sport, granted, but whose father played football at Nebraska, so he has that kind of legacy status, and gives the Nebraska men's basketball team a couple of seasons, and then says, see you later. And that was really unexpected. I was more caught off guard by that than I was Jessica Shepherd, the highest touted, girls basketball player in the state of Nebraska ever, whatever, that she was leaving the women's program. That caught me off guard less than Ed Morrow Jr. leaving Nebraska ball.
I don't get the reason Ed's leaving. And I'm going to sound cold. I'm going to sound like an asshole here. If Ed wants to play Michael Jacobson's spot, the four, put Ed Morrow at the four. Start him over the four. Because I tend to believe, and this is no slight to Jacobson, so if you take it like that, it's on you. I tend to believe Ed's better than Michael Jacobson. Now, he wants to shoot. He thinks he's a better shooter. He wants to be the wing guy because of the NBA. Okay, buy that. Sure. Ed's never shown us the propensity to be able that good of a shooter. He just hasn't. So I get it, but I don't see how, I guess what I don't see is somebody that doesn't realize just how good he is on that spot, I'm trying to say,
yeah,
somebody that's good as grinding and rebounding and everything, and he's not that great of a shooter, and I'm not trying to be a dick, I'm just being honest.
And for lack of a better term, he's kind of a garbage player. I mean, inside guy. He cleans up the glass, he gets the putbacks, but he's not going to step out and consistently hit the 12 to 8, the mid-range jump shots and nothing from outside. Let's turn the clock back, a week. And based on what we knew, or based on what we thought we had a week ago, who would your five starters have been for Nebraska for next year? And obviously, Ed. I'd probably say Jordy.
Ed, Jordy, Glenn. I think you have to start McVay. And Roby?
Do you give it to? I mean, and here's
the thing. I feel like I'm missing something. Somebody.
I'm feeling. I've got the guy in mind, but I can't. I can never remember his name. The kid who came over from Georgetown.
Copeland.
I mean, does he have?
There's no. Well, number one, there's no guarantee that he even gets, you know, the ability to start the season, much less, you know, because he has to get a red shirt to start the season because it has to be a full calendar year. Okay. But then, you know, let's face it. He's had back issues. How good is he going to be?
That's fair. You know? That's fair. And I'll tell you what, I like the way Roby surged late, for lack of a better term. I mean, definitely some room to grow and improve, but the ability is there. And I think giving him another offseason, let him build up some strength a little bit again, I think that could really help him. And I think he'd be in your starting five. Now you just play, you know.
I will say this, and I don't know anything special, and I don't know anything great, so don't take this the wrong way. I would say this. We knew him back Nick Fuller. Okay, we did. We knew Nick Fuller was going to go grad transfer somewhere. Cool. We kind of had a deal about Gerard Horn, although I kind of wish he didn't, but he didn't practice that well, and his defense was meh at best. And I always say, if he didn't practice that well, why didn't he play? But, you know, Bridgewater. Now, with Ed leaving, you know, if somebody else leaves, and, you know, we all thought it was done last week, and it's not, and there's still time for somebody to leave. If somebody else leaves, what the hell? What the fuck is going on in the cabin, you know?
Kind of makes me think that if somebody else leaves, then Miles wouldn't be too far behind, truth be told.
Let me say this. Worst case scenario, right now the worst case scenario guy to leave is Michael Jacobs. Because Jacobson would be taking the minutes that Morrow wanted at the four. So now both your fours are gone. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even so much that you're replacing points, because you're already replacing Ty's points. You know, that's fine. You're not replacing that much on Nick. You're not replacing that much off Fuller. You're not even replacing that bunch of points off Ed. But you're replacing a lot of rebounds. Okay, oh, yeah. You're replacing a guy that does the grunt work, especially, you know, in crunch time. You know, you're replacing a guy that does the work when Jordy has two, which more times than not, Jordy Schmonga has two fouls at the, you know, end of the first half. You know what I mean? That's what bugs me more than anything. And let's say Jacobson leaves. And like I said, I have no idea if that's going to happen. I hopefully doubt it. I mean, if Jacobson left and Marl stayed, that's an issue. But, you know, I would much feel better with Jacobson leaving, Marl staying, than Marl leaving and Jacobson staying. You know, maybe I'm a jerk here. I don't know. But if both of them left and both your fours leave, buddy, folks, we'd have an issue, you know.
So what?
Maybe Copeland's that good. I don't know.
I mean, what do you think that is about? And I'm trying. I think most Nebraska fans, at least I would hope, are trying to not look too much into this. But what does it say about the state of the program? Is it a program issue, or is it just the individual? You know, are they just looking at me like, you know, maybe they don't have a spot for me, instead of, it's a sinking ship, and I don't want to go down with the Titanic type of thing.
This is what I'll say. If the program is good, people stay to make it work out, okay? Sure. If you're in a job and it's not going great right now, but the job's a good place, and your boss is all right, and the person ahead of him is good, and ownership is good, you stay to try to make it work out, until it absolutely doesn't work out anymore, right?
Yeah, give or
take. If you know you're filling out 45 TPS reports, you got 8 bosses, you know,
and they're all like Bill Lumberg,
and the ownership is can't remember your name after 4 years, and your paycheck's never right. Yeah, you tend to want to leave because you think, man, there's somebody else that's, you know, something's better. You know what I mean? So it's a culture thing. Okay, it's a straight up culture thing. It's not saying he's a bad coach. I'm not saying Tim Miles is, you know, needs to figure it out. But, you know, we've had decent guys leave the program. Terrence Smith, you know. There's a bunch of guys that have left this program that, and granted, they haven't done too much, but you can't wait for the program, you know, can't wait till they help the program next year, 2 weeks later, you know, we're talking about them getting out of here, you know?
And I feel like we've already done this, but...
We have. This horse is pulverized and...
Right, but...
Seeking into the cracks of the dirt.
Ever since... I mean, if I'm not mistaken, and if I am, correct me. Ever since Tim got here, you know, here being Lincoln, not in my front room, that'd be cool. He's
kind of creepy. You're wondering why he's there, you know, but hey.
What?
Ever since Tim.
Ever since he arrived in Lincoln, seems like every year, or at least almost every year, he's had some, you know, key guys step away from the program. Now, Pettaway seems to be about the only one that makes sense because he actually went, you know, he just declared for the draft early. But Pitchford went.
I would say Walt was probably welcome because Walt, ever since that Baylor game in the tournament, Walt Pitchford kind of didn't get better, for lack of a better term. So,
I mean, okay, so Shields played his entire career, you know, and he...
Shields and Ty, yeah.
Shields and Ty both, but Andrew White left. Now Horn's gone, and Fuller again, grad transfer. I don't really have much of an issue, but Morrow leaves. These are key guys, and there's, I mean, I know that...
And it's not like they're going to the draft.
No, okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why Pettaway... Yeah,
somebody's trying to convince me the other day, well, it's... Kentucky has the issue. Kansas has the issue.
Duke,
motherfucker,
yeah.
Those guys are motherfucker. Those guys are being had their name called by Adam Silver.
Yeah, that's
nobody.
A different...
If you're traveling Duquesne or X Community College or Texas Southern Devereaux Briggs, no, it's not the same. If Nebraska's getting the one and done business, which, Lordy, I wish that would ever happen, but it's not gonna. You know, that's one thing, you know.
I mean, it's like on the football side, we didn't scratch our heads as much when, you know, like a Vincent Valentine left, you know, to go to the NFL. We scratched.
We didn't.
Hmm?
We didn't. At the time, we did.
I don't.
Now we're like, he did good. He has a Super Bowl ring.
and you know
what? At the time, we were like, what the fuck? You know,
we weren't thrilled, but it wasn't like he was, you know, I'm leaving the program and I'm going to go, you know, sit a year and then I'm going to play at UCLA or, you know, arbitrary school. He left because he saw some dollar signs and that's fine. I'm not begrudging of that, but that, you know, same with Pettaway. He said, you know what? I've got a shot to play. I'm going to give it I'm going to try my hand at that. But Morrow, he's like, you know, he had room to grow.
A legacy. His mom's a legacy, too. So a double legacy.
Two-time.
And you're set, probably your second best player on the team. At least your top third player.
Coming back or from the previous year?
Coming back.
Yeah.
Previous year coming back, doesn't matter.
Glenn Watson. Know.
Glenn, it's Glenn, Ed, and then who else?
He was going to have every opportunity to shine.
And I kind of go, oh, he was hurt. It didn't matter. He was hurt. Doesn't fucking matter if he's hurt. Oh, they beat Purdue without. Okay, they beat Purdue without him. They didn't beat a lot of other fucking people with them without him. You know, I mean, we're trying to make all these silly ass excuses for, you know, you know, if your excuse, oh, I believe in Tim Knott or what? Cool, fine, get it, whatever. He didn't, motherfucker. That wasn't his job.
He was
hurt. Okay.
The question becomes, you know, when you look at the season as a whole, was the team better with him? And the answer is yes. He was an asset to the team from what he did on the court. And like I said, I'm a little astonished that he stepped away from the program. I'm not here to be hateful. I don't want to see him end up in another Big Ten school. But hey, if he wants to go play basketball for the Southeast Missouri Redhawks, then
if he ended up in a Big Ten school, I think the screaming would be loud.
Oh yeah,
the screaming would be loud, Clarice. The lambs would be going.
There would not be so much silence in those lambs.
No.
Oh, let's sally forth, shall we?
Sally forth?
Yeah, why not?
Is that a word?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It's not.
Do we want to talk briefly about the departure of Jessica Shepherd, since we didn't talk a whole lot about women's basketball all season?
You know, it's okay. That's fine to me. Jessica's, you know, Jessica was the talent on the team, but at the same time, and I think there were pretty decent issues with both Connie Ori and Amy Williams with Jess. It needs to be done. It needs to be a start. It needs to be done. And I'm not saying Nebraska's going to be like a Final Four team next year because of it, because they're not. But I think they're going to be better because they're going to have other people have to step on up, you know.
And sometimes you have that when you have a departure, and then it causes, you know. And I'm not, and I don't know. I mean, I wasn't in the locker room. Obviously, they don't let me in there anyway. But
I hope not, you pervert. Jesus.
But you know, sometimes you have, and you see it in all, you know, you see it in the pros, things like that, where you have someone whose presence, and I'm not saying this to demean Miss Shepherd. I don't know her. I've never met her. But, you know, sometimes their presence or their attitude can be toxic. It's like any other relationship. You know, that you can sometimes...
It's a distraction.
It is. So perhaps with her not being there, the team can, you know, unify or be a little bit more whole, for lack of a better term. So, you know, wish her well as well.
I have a dumb question.
There are no stupid questions.
Oh, buddy, I could find one.
Okay.
So, the women's Final Four, you know, Dallas right now.
Okay.
UConn with their 3 trillion game winning streak. And not 3 trillion game, 3 trillion kicking the hell out of everybody winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
Is it bad for the sport?
I would say I want to say yes, but at the same time I know that when that day comes that they finally lose, then
they're just going to win 100 more games than went wrong.
Well, no, but there will be much rejoicing. imagine the team and the excitement in the press that will happen when somebody knocks off UConn, because they're a machine. They are. They don't rebuild. They reload.
Yeah, just
cliche.
Don't you get to the point you're like, man, the fun, you know, there's no more fun. You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, yeah, but that's why so many people watch women's sports anyway.
For the domination?
I mean, I watch women's hockey from time to time, especially in the Olympics. But, I mean, look at, like, turn on a WNBA game if you can find one on TV. There's, you know, a handful of people there, a small smattering. There's not the money in it. There's not the interest in it. And except, you know, in their anomalies, UConn, I'm sure that, you know, their women's basketball does very well, you know, as far as admissions goes. Nebraska volleyball, you know, they're exceptions to the rule, but by and large, I mean, who's watching? No, nobody's running out there.
I think there's more people watching than you think. I think there's a casual, you know, like the Final Four, there's a casual watching, you know. You know, the Final Four, you know, like they're playing Mississippi State tonight. Mississippi State's not bad, you know. They're really good, but, you know, there's really good, there's super good, and then there's UConn, you know. And I wonder if it's one of those things, you know, Nebraska played them this year, and it was right before Christmas, and
did not end well for Nebraska, if I remember correctly.
No, and I think Geno, it's like playing a video game at a simple setting, you know. And as I say this right now, as we record right now, UConn is trailing 22-13 in the first quarter, end of the first quarter. So maybe I'll just shut the flip up. But, you know, it's like one of those games where, you know.
How'd you like to be UConn and lose in the not championship game, you know?
The national semifinal?
Yeah. Well, it could.
And you got to lose eventually, don't you?
Yeah. You'd think.
But it gets to a point where, you know, like I said about Geno, you know, you keep winning the national championship on NCAA, whatever, but, you know, the I wouldn't say the difficulty is rookie, but you're not playing, you know, doesn't feel like you're playing as hard as you are, you know?
Anything's possible. Let's see here. Before we wrap things up this week, want to go back to Indiana and Nebraska baseball, because again, they did pick up the series opening win over the Hoosiers 7-3 Friday night. We were talking before we started recording about the tremendous turf that they have there at Indiana's baseball stadium, Brian. You said it was AstroTurf throughout.
It's 100% field turf. And okay, here's my beef with this. Okay, when it comes to baseball, I'm a stone cold purist. You know, all grass, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that Nebraska is an anomaly, or how do you pronounce that word?
Anomaly.
But
I like your pronunciation better. I'm going to try to work that in.
Anywho, and Nebraska's special because they have a park that, you know, they only have a third of the piece, and the other, you know, the second third is an actual physical minor league team, and a third is the city of Lincoln. You know, so cool. You know, they have the ability for that, but I get other schools don't have that ability. But there's a couple things that I look at in a ballpark that, you know, don't skimp on the dirt. I mean, the pitching mound, number one, put the pitching mound in dirt. You know, that's just a beef with me. Home plate, the sliding pits. I get the sliding pits on first, second, and third more than anything. Home plate, it's not the worst idea, but I get that a little less.
So
you know, and I get it. And I get it. You have to spend money on a grounds crew, and not a lot of people. You know, not a lot of schools have that money, and I get that. That's fine. But
I would think that a Big Ten school would have that in the budget. I want to talk about there is a minor league. It's more independent league. Frontier League is what it's called. Ballpark and team in Southern Illinois, Marion, Illinois, and it's Rent One Ballpark. And I've been there on two occasions, neither of which were for a Southern Illinois Miners. They're the Miners, MINERS, game. One was for a high school game where it's, you know, like, you know, Busch Stadium does it as well, where they will invite, you know, if you can sell enough tickets, then your high school baseball team can go play at Busch Stadium, and similar to Southern Rent One Ballpark. But went down there once when I was covering the baseball team at the radio station of previous employee, and I was really shocked to see that the entire field, base path, everything was turf. And I'm like, that just cannot be fun. And of course, when I went there and the kids were, you know, the high school kids were playing, it was March. I mean, it was, you know, early in the season. And it's like, it's colder and kind of rainy. I said, that just cannot be fun to, you know, slide on if you had to try to make a play. And yet, you know, the minors players do. And so anyway, that the other time I was there was not a baseball-related event. But I'm kind of like you in the fact that, you know, like, I remember when there was AstroTurf, not field turf, AstroTurf, and it was, you know, very thin, you know, piece of carpet, for lack of a better term, and like Old Busch Stadium, the one that was there from 1966 to 2005, had that stuff, and it looked bad. I'm a much bigger fan of grass and dirt and baseball, by God.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I get people can't afford it. That's cool. But, you know.
Here's as I mentioned, that one's in Marion, Illinois. There's a ballpark close to St. Louis, and it's the home of the Gateway Grizzlies, and it's GCS Credit Union, or Granite City Steel Credit Union ballpark. And I was just looking at their website and I think by now most, you know, college fans, college sports fans know every year in the week before Christmas, Missouri and Illinois play the bragging rights game in St. Louis. They used to play football in the first week or two of the season at the Edward Jones Dome where the Rams used to play. But I was shocked to see that the baseball teams even are playing in their annual bragging rights game, and that happens to be a GCS Credit Union ballpark. But while I was perusing their site, Brian, we got to talk about some ballpark food because we both like food. And if you are familiar with Travel Channel's Man vs. Food, back in 2009, the guy who was the man who took on the food made a trip to a GCS ballpark. Also, USA Today's top ballpark food, this, you know, ballpark made the list, and Sports Illustrated's number two ballpark food in 2013. They have what they call baseball's best burger. And I'm going to read it to you. You tell me what you think, okay, Brian? Okay. It is baseball's best burger, features a thick hamburger sandwiched in between a Krispy Kreme donut. Burger also features two slices of bacon and sharp cheddar cheese to give it the ultimate punch. It's been around since 2006. Has been a huge fan favorite. Over what, when you go to the ballpark, Brian, what's your go to? What do you enjoy the most?
In Texas,
that period.
They have a barbecue, what they call a barbecue baker, and it's a baked potato with about 20 pounds of brisket on it.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And the whole sour cream, butter, barbecue sauce, chives, cheese. $9, but damn, it's worth it. So that's if I'm eating. Now, ironically, 29 of 30 major league ballparks will allow you to bring in your own food,
like,
and actual beverages.
Like what? Like bag of peanuts or?
No, you can bring in a cooler full of Subway and soda.
Huh. I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't know that. There's only one ballpark in America that doesn't allow it.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Would it be an obvious one?
No, actually, it really wouldn't.
Okay, so I was going to say Yankee Stadium, but you've shot that one out. Tampa Bay.
No.
All right, you're going to have to tell me now because that was, I went obvious and obscure.
Minute Maid Park.
Okay. Interesting.
And I actually learned that the hard way.
Because you tried.
I tried to bring it. Well, I had like a, you know, I had like a 1 liter of Pepsi, and you know they sell Coke products. So I'm like, oh, I want a Pepsi. So I tried to bring it in. Guy's like, oh, you can't bring any outside food drinks. I'm like, what the hell, you know, because I'm used to be able to do it in Kansas. Used to be able to do it in Kansas City. Yes, to doing it in
Arlington. Field or something.
Used to doing it in Coors Field, and you're like, what? And sure enough, I went home and looked it up that day, and I'm like, oh, you're the only freaking one.
Let me ask you this. This is only slightly related, but since I'm still looking at GCS Ballpark's website and their famous food, do y'all have y'all have Country Bob's sauce down in Texas?
No.
You know the sauce they
pimp at Globe Life, Rangers Ballpark, Emeritus is Arlington.
I do not. What did
they call it that week? Sweet Baby Ray's.
That's all right. Country Bob's is actually. No. What?
It's not.
It's what I've got in my pantry, bro.
I have it too. You know where it's made?
No.
Chicago.
Okay.
How can the Texas barbecue sauce be made in Chicago?
Country Bob's originates in Centralia, Illinois. The hometown of my beloved, beautiful wife. But they have steak sauce. They have barbecue sauce. They have some...
who cares about steak sauce?
Dry rubs and
seasonings.
If you make
the steak right, you don't need steak sauce, jerk.
I know that. I'm just saying, at GCS Ballpark, they have the Country Bob's Chicken Sandwich, and it's a delectable combo of grilled chicken breast, sharp cheddar, two slices of bacon, all smothered in Country Bob's famous barbecue sauce, you jerk.
I'm sorry if you didn't eat breakfast or brunch before this, guys, because I'm sure this is making you hungry.
And on that note,
you know what they're serving this year at Globe Life?
No, I live in Illinois, Brian.
Well, I figured you saw it on the news, you jerk.
You'd be surprised what
two new things. One, they're serving this tamale dog. You remember the old boomstick that they served, which is the foot long hot dog with peppers, chili cheese, and everything they know about a couple years ago they got known for?
Sure.
They said, what if we took the boomstick and wrapped it one big-ass flour tortilla and fried it?
Interesting.
No. Because,
not,
you know,
your favorite?
Boomsticks are just weird, man. They're like, oh, let's put peppers on. I don't want peppers because, you know, I die of, like, breathing fire. Oh, that means you want more peppers. No, asshole, it doesn't. But this is the other one, and I want to try it just because it sounds really fucking weird. It has some weird name called Texas Balls or something.
Okay, well.
It's brisket, okay? The state vegetable of Texas, brisket.
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
And they wrap it in donut dough. Okay.
Uh-huh.
They deep fry it. And you're like, okay, that sounds good. That sounds really good. I can deal with that. And then the kicker comes and you're like, why? So they fry it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, cool. And then they put powdered sugar all over it.
That's an odd combination, Brian.
That's a pregnant lady combination. You're looking for the pickles on top of it. So. I'm going to go try it. You know, it's $9, so, you know, what's the end of the world? You know, $9. You know, but I'll try it. I don't know if I'll like it, but I'll try it.
Are they the Texas Snowballs?
No, they're the Texas Rangers.
No, but the Rangers are selling something called Texas Snowballs.
No, that's it.
That's what I was trying to find out. All right, so, yeah, it's a classic ballpark shredded brisket rolled into balls, dipped in funnel cake batter. Balls are deep fried and covered in powdered sugar.
Donut batter. I mean, it sounded like it was donut batter. Okay.
And there's a picture of it. I pulled this from SI.com, so naturally I'm going to steal that picture and throw it on.
No, we can't credit. Must credit.
I'll credit. But there's a picture of it because it's powdered sugar drizzled with barbecue sauce, and it looks insane and not in a good way.
I'd try it.
Well, okay.
Man, I know they got 3-ply at the ballpark, so it's not a big deal.
This Texas Snowball is a step down from last year's Wicked Pig, which was a $27 sandwich with pork, bacon, ham, sausage, and pork rinds.
I wanted to try that, and I never got a chance to. It kind of made me mad.
It sounds like something you can make at home, Brian.
Too much pork.
I agree. On that happy note.
Yeah, we're leaving. I hope you're hungry.
Yeah, I am. And
listener.
It's late, and I don't have any cookies, so it's all your fault, Brian.
I have like 3 things of cookies in the freezer. I should make one to send you a picture.
You should. We'll put it on the post.
Well, no. What we'll do is I'll take 2 cookies, put some ice cream between them.
Ooh, you're the devil. That's it.
Satan's
get out of here.
For Brian Toll, I'm Greg Mahan. Wait, shit, that's your line.
For Brian Toll, I'm Greg Mahochko. It is Final Four weekend. It is MLB opening weekend. It's WrestleMania weekend, by God. And Phillip, make yourself a little fatter. You can do sit-ups tomorrow. Eat a hot dog today or something. I don't know.
Eat the deep-fried Cheerios now.
Deep-fried Cheerios. He's Brian Toll. I'm Greg Mahochko. We're reminding you this week and every week, the 5 heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.